Hello. We're in the season of Advent, in the run-up to Christmas. Two great themes in Advent. It's all about the coming, the first coming of our Lord at Christmas time, and the second time, the final last trump, when Christ returns in glory. Now, we have in Chipstead the wonderful means of bringing both these ideas together in the Advent or Midwinter Horn. You'll hear it in a moment's time, but the Midwinter Horn was played in very ancient times, pre-Christian times, in the Twente district of the Netherlands, over by the German border. And it was played at the winter solstice, and the idea behind it was that if you played this fearsome horn over a well, the evil spirits who lurk in wells in that area would stay down the well during the winter solstice, would not come out, and the days will get longer again because the sun was not frightened away by these evil spirits. And, you know, it worked every year. However, when the Christians came, they said, we can't have this nonsense of evil spirits in wells. So, because no one likes to lose a paying job, the Midwinter Horn player said, well, in that case, we will play it at Advent as an Advent horn to welcome our Saviour and throughout the period of Advent. So that, my friends, is why we in Chipstead we have the Midwinter or Advent horn, and now you'll hear it played over a well with a remarkable effect. So this is over a lovely old Victorian cistern at the back of Elmore, and it's a great sound. Margaret's Church. I am the curate here, and my name is John Waits, and this morning we have the Holy Communion according to the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. And the collect for our new sovereign. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our king and governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Come to the collect. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Let us pray. The Collect for the first Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and for ever. Amen. And now we have the readings.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, The Mountains of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above all the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up the mountain of the Lord to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at the 36th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
And our creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we have the sermon.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. Today we're celebrating the first and the second advent or coming of Christ. There's quite a contrast. As it says in the special prayer for Advent, the first time Christ came in great humility. The second time he will come in his glorious majesty. And as it says in the letter to the Hebrews, the first time he came to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, the second time he will appear to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is a season of waiting, a time to be patient. We can hardly miss the countdown to Christmas, with decorations appearing in the shops, with carols being sung, and parties being held. We know exactly how long we have to wait. That's one kind of waiting. It's not too hard to be patient when you know exactly how many more days we have to wait. Advent is the season when we count the days, 25 days to Christmas. We can count them on our Advent calendars. For each day, there's a door or a parcel to open. It may possibly have a religious theme, although that seems unusual these days. There's plenty of choice. You can get calendars for children and calendars for adults, calendars with cosmetics or perfume, chocolates and sweeties, calendars for cats and calendars for dogs, even calendars for rabbits and guinea pigs. It really is waiting made easy. The second coming is very different. There will be no countdown to the last judgment. Christ will come again at a time when we're not expecting him. That calls for a different kind of waiting, a different kind of patience. We have to be ready for the second coming of Christ at any time, on any day. Christians have been waiting for the second coming of Christ for almost 2,000 years. We've no idea how much longer we still have to wait. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, his first disciples clearly expected him to return very soon. He'd come again within their lifetime. For example, in Mark's Gospel we read, "To tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened." And similarly, in Matthew's Gospel, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Well, as the years passed by, it became clear that the early Christians had to wait much longer than that. Some were disappointed, and this is reflected in the second letter of Peter. "In the last day, scoffers will come. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Everything goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation.'" We are assured that this apparent delay of judgment is due to God's patience. And it's not really a delay, because for God, in eternity, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Moreover, God is giving the nations time to hear the good news of salvation and to repent of their sins. And if we wonder what Christ is doing in the meantime, we're told in John's Gospel that he is in heaven preparing a place for us to join him there. We've been warned that there will be many false alarms. There will be wars. There will be plagues and famines. Christians will face persecution and many will lose their faith. All this may happen, but the end will not come yet. Conditions may get much worse before they get any better. But, as we might say, that's not the end of the world. We should not be dismayed. God's kingdom will come in the end, and Christ will rule in glory. The second coming of Christ is a central part of our faith, a central item in our creeds. Jesus Christ, it says, is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I once heard a sermon in which it was actually said that we didn't need to believe in the last judgment. I think that's the only time I have spoken to the preacher after a service to tell them I thought they had got it all wrong. If God is both loving and almighty, then there must surely come a time when he will put the world to rights. Evil must be overcome sooner or later. That's what we believe as Christians. We believe that Christ our Saviour will come again as ruler and judge. As Paul says, the whole creation is longing for his kingdom to come. We can be confident that there will be a second coming and a day of judgment, but we can't claim to know what form that event will take. we probably have a mental image of Jesus coming down out of the sky, riding on the clouds. And this is really a vision of Jesus' ascension in reverse. And as the angel said to Jesus' disciples when he was ascending into heaven, they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. He's come back from heaven." In modern times, we can hardly take that picture literally. We can't say how much is poetry and how much is prose, but nevertheless, we can keep it in our minds as a guide to our feelings about how the world will come to an end. It will be a reunion. It will be a reunion of Christ with his disciples. We're longing for the day of judgment. Longing, although we know that we ourselves will face judgment. Because we know that we have many failures and faults. We know that we'll be found guilty of much wrongdoing and that we will all deserve condemnation. Yet we still long for the judgment to begin. Because it's good. It's good that we should all be accountable to God for what we've done or said or thought. We know that we should all be humble and contrite. We long for judgment because it's only after we have been judged that we can be forgiven. And it's only after we have faced justice that we can receive mercy. In the teaching of Jesus, there's plenty about Judgment Day, about who will deserve reward and who will deserve punishment. Think of Dives and Lazarus, the rich man living in luxury and the poor man whose need he neglected. Think of the sheep and the goats, the ones that have been generous and caring, and the ones who think only of themselves. These stories of Jesus tell us how we will be judged. Have we loved our neighbours as we've loved ourselves? Have we loved in thought only, or has it been love in action? The commandments against which we will be judged will seem impossibly strict by human standards. Jesus told us to be perfect, even as God himself is perfect. So even those whom the world calls virtuous are sinners in the eyes of God. So none of us can earn our own salvation. But happily, that's not the whole of Christian teaching about the Day of Judgment. We're also told that there is no condemnation for those who are shielded by the love of Christ. We can face the second coming of Christ because of what he has achieved by his first. He has taken off the burden of our sins, he's paid the ransom, wiped clean the slate. And that's what we will be celebrating at Christmas. The birth of the child at Bethlehem points forward to the sacrificial death on the cross outside Jerusalem. The first and second Advents really belong together. We wait for judgment, but we don't wait in fear. We don't dread the second coming. On the contrary, we look forward to it with confidence and pray that it will be soon. However, we cannot count the days because we don't know how many more years there will be. There can be no second Advent calendar helping us to wait patiently for Jesus to come down from heaven again. Instead, we are told to prepare ourselves as best we can for his arrival. If we knew when the Day of Judgment would be, I suppose we would relax. There would be no need to get ready now for the second coming of Christ if we knew it was not coming for another 1,000 years. There would not be much urgency about our preparation. That's why the uncertainty of the timescale is so important. We have to get ready just in case the end will come today. I'm reminded of the motto of the Scouts, "Be prepared." I'm also reminded of the ancient wisdom that tells us to live each day as if it were our last. I'm reminded of what Jesus himself said to his disciples before he left them. He said, "It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. Keep watch, therefore, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Then let watching be the theme of this season. We count the days to Christmas on our calendars, enjoy the parties and the carol singing. We rejoice that Christ came down to earth to save us from our sins. At the same time, we wait patiently for however long it takes until Christ comes again to put the whole world to rights. Let us pray. Let us pray in the words of the beautiful Advent collect from the Book of Common Worship. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon the earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers with which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and especially thy servant Charles, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment and wickedness of vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the glory and honour of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that turn unto him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Many of us are still taking communion at home. That's a spiritual form of taking communion, as opposed to the actual physical form here. There's a nice prayer done by Great St. Mary's Church in Cambridge of spiritual communion. Beautiful way to remember that Christ is here and he is with us at this Eucharist, whether in church or at your home. It's a prayer inspired by a prayer of St. Richard of Winchester. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. You might like to pause now and take some bread and some wine for later on. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We're not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, whom the night that he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith and thanksgiving. The body and blood of Christ. Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Prayer after communion. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.